Let's go to the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. A man who doesn't get giddy about silly things like a 3-game winning streak after a 10-game losing streak. One of the best baseball writers in the business. He's from The Athletic. He's Mr. Keith Law. Keith, thanks for being back with us despite our giddiness.
Thank you.
Hey, how you doing?
We're all right. We just have a team here that can't hit and isn't very entertaining. But by golly, we're looking at standings nonetheless. So hang in there with us, okay?
Mm-hmm.
That's all you have to say about that one. The draft is coming up, and you got the first round coming up. And this organization has always looked at pitching. College pitchers have been a big thing for the Guardians. High school pitching has been a reasonably big thing. What hasn't been a big thing, at least in recent drafts, power hitting college players. Is that an area that is something this team should be looking at? Do you like that area of this draft? What are you thinking?
Well, it depends. See, I'm very much a best player available guy when it comes to the draft, particularly in baseball. You don't draft for need because most of these guys are going to take anywhere from 1 to 5 years to get there. And if you end up in the terrible situation where you have too many talented shortstops, you can trade those guys. So in the situation with the Guardians, they have not developed power bats, obviously. They're really good at developing pitching. That could be an argument to say the best player available for the Guardians is often going to be maybe a slightly undervalued pitcher, undervalued by the rest of the industry, because they know they can take guys like that and get them better. Tanner Bibby being, a particularly good example, but far from the only one. You know, the flip side of that is, well, at some point you have to go get power bats, and it's not like they've been trading for those guys either. So somewhere in there, I think they do need to mix in a different type of hitter, a different type of player, but particularly a different type of hitter than how they've typically drafted. Even if they don't feel like that's necessarily a core competence on the development side, at some point you're going to have to find some guys who can put the ball in the seats, and that is just kind of an organizational weakness and has been one for a couple of years now.
That said, the Guardians have a pretty good closer in Emmanuel Clase, and you wonder, for a team that might be struggling to figure out what its identity is around the trade deadline, what do you think his I think his value would be outstanding for them, especially for a team that is having trouble developing hitters. Anyone got any extra hitters laying around for a really, really good closer? He be on the trade block?
Yeah, well, I generally say yes on if you don't think you're going to the playoffs and you have a good closer, even a good reliever, those should be the first guys you trade. Because, unfortunately, because of a lot of things, how hard they throw, how we treat them, they don't last. Relievers tend to have a peak of about 2 or 3 years before things start to either go south or they just get hurt, which is unfortunate. I don't like that we live in a world where we treat these guys as disposable, but they are. And, I think in terms of the front office, that is your responsibility to treat them that way. And that means, Cleveland says, we're not going to the playoffs this year, or we're a long shot to go to the playoffs this year, then, you should trade Clase, or at least explore his trade value. That's probably a better way to say it. Unfortunately, some of the teams that might have been the best fits, like Baltimore, for example, are not shopping for a closer right now. Baltimore is a team that's weak pitching staff, absolute surplus at bats. They would otherwise line up pretty well with Cleveland, but Baltimore is already selling. We actually saw them make a minor trade this morning towards selling. So I don't know that there's necessarily an ideal fit for Clase, but they should put him out there and see what they get.
Keith, what would you want for him if you were the Guardians? He's under team control for 3 more years. He's under contract, real reasonable. He's arguably still the best closer in the game. And so he could be the back end of your bullpen for the next 3 years. But this organization produces good pitching. You would think you could develop another closer, and you might already be here if it's Cade Smith or maybe even Hunter Gaddis. What would make you think, this would be a move to make?
And it could be somebody we're not even thinking, right? Often closers, a lot of them are failed starters. And they move to the bullpen, and their stuff takes up substantially. It helps address a mechanical issue. So I'm reasonably confident that Cleveland can create another closer. It may not be as good as Clase was last year, but could be good enough to be the closer even on a contending team. With Clase, with any reliever, I think the value is much more what can you do immediately and what's it going to cost in the very near term. So a reliever having 3 years of team control, nice, not as important as a starting pitcher or position player. Much more interested in how good can he be right now, how good has he been so far this year, and what does he cost? The fact that he doesn't cost a whole lot yet, I mean just in pure dollars, means just about any contender could be interested, even teams that are low payroll clubs, the Rays, the Brewers, they could, should at least be interested. I feel like the Brewers in particular would probably be a pretty good fit. They do have some surplus in the farm system. Whether they'd be willing to trade from that is that's sort of another question. But I think that's just one, just top of my head, that could potentially line up. In terms of what the Guardians should be looking for, you want to maximize your return. Yeah, they probably should prioritize bats a little bit, just because pitching is a little less valuable to the Guardians. But if the best offer brings back more pitching and less hitting, I wouldn't say no to that just because I think we've got more of an organizational need. I also very much subscribe to the belief you can never have enough pitching, particularly because, like I said, they always get hurt.
Keith, could you get real close to major league ready bats or even young major league bats, two of them for Class A? Or would a team, and would the Guardians' best haul be, you know, somebody who's a really highly thought of Class A prospect, something like that?
Well, closers, relievers don't usually bring back that kind of multi-part, you know, multiple good prospects return. I would say if you're thinking you're trying to get one prospect who's good and also close to the majors or even like a 0-3 guy in the majors right now, that's probably going to be the bulk of the return just because, and it has nothing against Class A at all. It's just that the market doesn't seem to value relievers the way that it used to, even 5-10 years ago, where I think you would flip a closer at the deadline and you would expect a multi-part return like that. So if I were them, and I would also want to prioritize somebody who's closer to the majors because I think Cleveland should be thinking about returning to contention next year, even if they've decided we're not contending right now. This team is close enough. I mean, it'd be nice if they'd spend a little money this offseason, but let's just say they're just going to keep, the ownership is going to keep doing what they do. This team is still good enough to contend in that division next year. So I could absolutely see them saying, we'd rather get someone who's a little bit closer, even if it means we're passing on a little bit more upside from a teenager in Abel. You know, the Brewers, I just happen to be thinking of the Brewers too, because they went and scouted their low A club a week and a half ago. And it's all teenagers, and they're really good. Several of them, like Jesus Mates, could be in the Futures game on Saturday. He's a superstar. You're not getting him. But there were other players on that roster who wouldn't potentially be available in the right trade and who would give a lot of long-term upside, but you're not going to see them in the majors for 3 years. And if you're trying to contend, like I am contending, the Guardians should be contending. Maybe those guys aren't the best fit. You'd rather get someone who could contribute in the next 15 months.
All right, Keith, I got a fun one for you. Major League Baseball is going to use the automatic break system. I'm at the ABS. I'm at the automated ball strike challenge system.
Yuck,
during
yuck.
The All-Star break in Atlanta. Your thoughts on that? I think this is going to be interesting to see how it plays out. Although, I don't know if you know this or not, but I'm wondering, do the umpires they normally use in the All-Star game, are they All-Stars too? Like, do they put together an All-Star group of umpires? And if that's the case, then they may not have to use it very often.
Oh, I don't think. Well, I mean, I believe you have to get selected to work the All-Star game.
Okay.
It doesn't mean they're the best.
Right.
Like, they're not, right? I don't think that's part of the equation. I think seniority has a lot to do with it.
Yeah.
I'm a big fan of the challenge system.
Okay.
I want more accuracy in the calls, period. I've been to a lot of games that use the ABS because, I mean, it was just a AAA game last Wednesday. And I've been to Fall League games where they use it in the Salt River Ballpark out in Arizona. And I think it's great because it's just more accuracy. And the way that they do it, where they display it on the Jumbotron, kind of makes it a little bit of an event. It doesn't take very long. And fans seem to really enjoy it. And I'm very much in favor of that. Because as much as I like the fact that we have replay to get calls, you know, safe out calls frequently to get those correct, it takes forever. Nobody enjoys that part of the process. It's just what we do because there's human error baked into the game. And we want to get those calls right. But the ABS is fast, it's entertaining, and if it gets five pitches called, you know, five calls reversed over the course of a game, which is probably about the most you would expect, that's a pretty big improvement, I would say. So I think it just makes the game better all around.
Keith Law joining us from The Athletic. He's going to have great coverage of the Futures game on Saturday coming up on The Athletic. A couple of Guardians players are there. Parker Messick, left-handed pitcher who seems like he's coming on, might be one of the next guys in the pipeline. And C.J. Cephas, who he hit in Akron. He's hitting in Columbus, although not as of late. A little slump right now. This team offensively challenged. You have Cephas in Columbus. We have Chase DeLauder in Columbus. Brito probably would have been up here if he hadn't yanked that hamstring. Why is an organization like this, ours in particular, Keith, so patient? What are they waiting for with DeLauder and Cephas? Are they seeing things they don't like? Or what's the reason that those guys are sitting down there when guys up here just aren't getting the job done?
In DeLauder's case, I assume it's just because he's constantly hurt. I mean, he has had so little playing time since they drafted him. It was 4 years ago. And he's been hurt for a significant portion of every year. It's been multiple injuries. He missed time earlier this year. So I would imagine they want him to get a little bit more experience in AAA before calling him up to the majors. And honestly, just because he hasn't, I mean, it wouldn't even matter what level. He just hasn't played enough this year. In Cephas's case, and this argument may also apply to DeLauder as well, I really believe in the value of having a guy go around the league a little bit, let another team, at least one other team, see you twice so that they adjust to you and then you have to adjust back. That may be what's going on with Cephas. I've seen Cephas many times, not in AAA, but AA in spring training. So Messick in spring training and loved him there too. It's the best I ever saw Messick. But in Cephas's case, I have some questions. I have some questions about what's the power ultimately going to be. I have some questions about left on left. Let him go around AAA a little bit more so that, you know, you play one team a week. So you wait until maybe you face a team for the second time, see if they change their plan so that you have to make some kind of adjustment. Because the moment you get to the majors, all of that happens on speed, basically. Like guys are, there's a book on you immediately. The data is incredibly complete. People have armies of people working on that, how to get you out as a hitter. And you're going to have to make those adjustments very quickly. So I think there's some value in letting a guy stay in AAA a little bit longer to do that. Now, if you and I are having this conversation in late August, I might have some more questions.
You expect both of those guys to be up here, Keith, at some point this year, or maybe one and not the other?
I would expect both those guys to come up, and Brito is healthy. I mean, this team, we're way past the point of pushing off free agency. We're past any consideration of Super 2 arbitration status, if that even stays in the next CBA. So there's no service time-related reason to keep these guys in the minors. It should all be about what is best for their development. And I think Cephas should be up because I think that once he's got a little more time in AAA, like I said, he'll be ready. With DeLauder, it's literally, can he just stay healthy? I think he would have been up a year ago if he'd been healthy. There's just been so many injuries. And I think we've talked before. I do not like his swing. I think he's going to have real trouble hitting good major league pitching. But we're not going to know until he gets there. He's going to have to get tested at the big league level. And if I'm Cleveland, I'm saying we want to know if any of these three guys are part of our lineup in 2026. And the only way to get any kind of read on that at this point is to call them up and give them 150 or so at-bats for the rest of the season. So I hope all three of those guys are in their lineup before we get to September.
Let's look a little further down the road. Travis Bezzana is back. He's played three games in the Arizona League, getting back after his oblique injury. He might have been on a fast track to get here. What did you think about him going number one last year and now his development? We've seen a couple of power hitters already reach the major leagues out of that draft. And, we don't have power hitters here in Cleveland. So we're thinking, wait a minute, did they miss? Is Bezzana still a great prospect? Where does it stand in your mind, Keith?
Well, so at the time of the draft, I think I had him second. I had Charlie Condon, who the Rockies took third. He was one on my board. Bezzana was second. Now, having, he's had some time in pro ball. I got to see him a couple games in spring training, talked to a couple guys who saw him before he got hurt this year. I do think the industry overall perception of him has cooled a little bit. there are a lot of concerns that his swing is so steep that it's going to be hard for him to keep up the very high contact rates he had in college. There are also some concerns about whether he's going to stay at second base or have to move to left field. In his defense, I'll say most amateurs don't get a lot of defensive instruction. Cleveland generally has a pretty good track record with developing good defensive players. I'd like to see him get more time in their system to work on his defense before I just consign him to an outfield corner. He's got a hit. I really want to see him hit for average. I'm not as concerned about him getting to, you know, 20-ish homer power. I think that'll be there if there's enough contact. But I saw the concerns. I have the same concerns with the shape of the swing. I know other people, particularly analysts, have voiced the same thing. You know, Dustin Pedroia had a really ugly swing that was very steep, and he had a lot of mechanical things I didn't like, and that guy had a pretty good career. So I don't want to just assume Bezzano can't do it. He's got to play. And I would probably slow to your answer about him getting there quickly. I wouldn't rush him at this point. If he has to spend the rest of the year in AA because he missed, what was it, something like 8 weeks, fine. That'll still set him up to potentially debut in the majors at some point next year, as long as he performs.
Keith, last question for me. I'm just curious, how high are you on the Tigers for the long haul on this season? I mean, they've been playing great since the middle of last season, and unfortunately, we sit here in Cleveland and we're watching how good they're playing, but are they, how high are you on them to take in the American League?
I think they're legit. I think that lineup is incredible. I mean, it's really deep. They have an average to above average hitter at every single spot now that Trey Sweeney is in the minors and Parker Meadows is back. I think the pitching is more than just the Tarik Skubal show. I think they need to supplement it. If I were in your front office, it's all right. What back-end starting pitching depth can we acquire at the trade deadline? But I'm also heading up to see their AA club in Erie, which has two of the top 10 prospects in baseball, Max Clark, Kevin McGonigal. They'll both be in the futures game. Sol Josue Briceño, who's also on this Erie club, which is a long way of saying their farm system's really good. They've done a hell of a job the last 2-3 years, and it's going to make them better at the big league level and probably able to get kind of anything they want at the trade deadline or maybe this offseason. They've got a lot to work with. So, yeah, I'm not trying to be a pessimist here on Cleveland radio, but you should be concerned. They got real good real fast, and I think it's going to sustain.
Keith, always great to have you with us. Thank you very much. We appreciate it. Your coverage of the Futures game will be all over The Athletic, and I look forward to reading it.
Thanks, sir. Thanks, Keith.
My pleasure.
Okay. DeLauder is still down there. Kafis is still down there. They've hit well at times this year. Why are they still down there? And that's what Keith had to say. And then about Kafis, he said, let him go around AAA again. Let teams adjust. Let him adjust. But he also said, big picture, how about 150 at-bats for these guys later in the season? I wonder, Andy, if that's a viable
situation. You say that all the time.
Well,
100 at-bats at least.
I wonder, but I'm thinking that like with guys like Nolan Jones and John Kenzie and Jonathan Rodriguez, because they're here now. Mm-hmm. I wonder if this team makes a run and gets after a wild card, if they can afford to do that with Kafis and with DeLauder. Or might they think, what we have here is going to do a better job in trying to get us into the playoffs and bringing up those guys at this point in the season? It might be a balancing act the team has to pull.
I would think if you get past the trade deadline, you haven't done anything. And I don't know. Now I'm not. If you're still within striking distance, that maybe you do give them that opportunity. Why not? Why not put them at, you know, say you're 5 games back on the wild card. Why not give those guys a chance at that point if they're healthy enough and see what you got? Why not run it as like a trial period?
Yeah. You're trying to balance a couple of things, though.
Because, you could get great results and then give these guys the experience of not being in a minor league push at the end of the season, but being in a major league push. But by the same token, understanding what the bigs are about, because it is a giant jump. It really is. But, he thought DeLauder should have been here last year. I was like, he's probably
if
right,
he hadn't been injured.
Yeah. He's right.
You know, these college hitters are making the jump a little more quickly than we're used to seeing, you know, in the past. We've seen guys over the years be able to do that. But you have two guys already up from last year's class in Caglione and Kurtz, you know, two big power hitters, both first basemen, both lefties who can smash it. And I didn't like his thought on Bezzano very much. Did you?
I feel like everybody's down on this kid right
now
because he's hurt.
I know.
I'll talk
That's
to him about
terrible,
it later.
Isn't it?
Yeah, it's ridiculous. Because if he was healthy, we'd be screaming for him to be here right now.
If he were hitting okay.
It doesn't even matter. Even in the minors at 250 right now,
it would definitely
we would be
matter.
Excited to see somebody who might have a shot to get a hit once every four at bats. Oh, my goodness. Would that be amazing?
I disagree with that.
Jeff, look at the bottom of our lineup is just like, oh, my God. I can't believe this is a major league. Like, I can't believe it's that bad.
I disagree with that.
That our bottom of our lineup isn't bad? Do you want me to read you the numbers again?
No, that's not what I disagree that we'd be clamoring for him to be up here.
People would want him up here quicker. They would say, and I don't know they would probably make the right move by not bringing him up, because I agree with you that it probably isn't the right time, but there's still an aura and it doesn't matter, and there's a marketing aspect to it, and there's this push to say, wait a minute, you guys drafted, and I know it's not football, but guess what? We're in a football town.
All right, but
people around here are saying to themselves, you had the number one pick overall. Why is he not here when you've got five guys who can't hit over 188 on the bottom of your lineup? Whether it's logical or not, it's what fans would be thinking.
Let me give you some perspective on this.
Okay.
Not that you need it.
But I'm misguided.
I'm going to give you some anyway.
Yes.
DeLotter's fallen off a little bit in AAA.
Mm-hmm.
And he's not doing that well.
Like they're trying to string together four or five games.
I know. Yeah. Jonathan Rodriguez, who has really struggled up here so far,
mm-hmm.
and I think it could be intriguing, was the AAA player of the year last year in his league, and was hitting .324 in AAA. We've heard from multiple people who have been guests on the show, the difference between AAA and Major League pitching is far greater than it's been ever before. And the difference between playing well in AAA and the majors is vastly different than it's been.
Mm-hmm.
A much wider situation. Will Wilson, who you've complained about.
What do you mean I complained
Andy
about him?
Andy has complained about Will
Have
Wilson.
Have you ever heard me on this station complain about Will Wilson?
Dan?
The only thing I said was, who is this guy? That's all I said.
Well, he's hitting .308 in AAA,
okay.
But he hasn't hit up here. So it just...
Jeff, everyone into a box and you don't let them out sometimes.
No, I'm not putting him into a box.
You do. You put him. I saw it.
What
box?
It's
a tiny little box. You put him in the. He's a triple A hitter who can't hit the bigs.
No. What I'm saying is this. Maybe Keith Law is exactly right. We're all jumping the gun on the idea that hey, we want DeLotter up here. Hey, we want Kafis up here. Maybe they're just not ready. You know, Jonathan Rodriguez hasn't hit well here. Man, he's just torn it up in AAA this year and last. And maybe we just need to cool our jets here and be a little patient.
How patient can you be when you've got five guys hitting under 180?
Hitting under 180 are the guys who are tearing it up in AAA and the guys that we've both said, man, I want to see this guy, aren't tearing it up in AAA anymore.
They're inside the Jeff Phelps box that says rather than saying some, he says all. Isn't this one of those tests you take when you're a kid? Some or all. Pat, by the way. Some players cannot be inside that box. It was like, who did we have on 2 days ago that said, you know, there are just some guys you see in the minors, you know they're going to be able to hit at every level. Are they special? Yeah, they're special, but you know who they are. It might have actually been a caller that said
maybe
that.
Maybe they're trying to maximize
but you
the
to
All-Star breaks coming up.
They
don't want to bring... No, I don't.
You do.
Not at all.
Ah, Jeff.
Not at all. But I'll say this, DeLotter hit a home run yesterday. He's been on base like 33 straight games, but is hitting .185 in July. So if you want to bring a guy up when he's playing well, now's not the time for Chase DeLotter. Kafis hit a home run yesterday, his 12th. That's really good. He's hitting .240 in AAA in July. If you were looking to bring him up when they were hot, you missed the boat on both these guys.
Who wants to be a Jeff in the box? That's what I say.
What's he even talking about?
I'm talking about how sometimes you just take players, you put them in the box, and you say, okay, you're in this box. And this box says that you may not be one of those guys that might be able to hit at all levels, even though I've seen guys that could hit. Or you're a guy Let me finish.
Give me a fact.
Or you get into
give me
the
some info rather
can
than the
let
Andy
me finish
BS.
My point before
it's
I
just
get there.
More BS. Give
it's
me some.
BS.
Give me something hard, cold facts
Jeff,
on
you
this.
You just listed off six guys that if you got to give them a chance in the bigs at some point. You just listed all these
but
guys.
What
off.
I said was maybe they're not ready. Maybe
but
Keith
right
Law
up there.
Is right.
It's right up there with the saying, you know, he got drafted in the fifth round. That means that every NFL team passed on him for the first four rounds.
Well, that's a fact.
Even if they had three starting quarterbacks who would be better than he was.
That's a fact.
But the fact is that some teams didn't need quarterbacks, so he's going to get pushed back.
I've asked you to give me the name of one guy I've done this with in baseball, because you're talking about this box, and you can't come up with one.
Every guy you just mentioned in this segment. Do I have to go back and replay?
All I said was give them some time.
Hit the radio rewind.
And what I've said was, these guys tore it up in AAA. They're not hitting well in the majors now.
But you got to give them a chance to
do
it. Yes.
Exactly. And maybe that's what they're doing now.
And that's why we get them out of the Jeff in a box.
That was dope.
Give Rodriguez a little bit more of it. I don't know. I'm just saying that we put him in there
I'm all for Noel or Rodriguez. Give him 150 at-bats. Let's go. What I'm tired of is the platooning.
Okay.
That's what I'm tired of.
That I agree with. That I agree with.
Take that box and shove it up your, you know what, Andy?
Ding, 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 ding. I'm a Jeff in a box. Bing, bing, bing.
I'm Phelps, and he's a pain in the butt. We were arguing about.
You're not mad, are you?
We were arguing about, I've never liked you, man.
Yeah, whatever. Come on. 14 years. We should just put a therapist in here with us in the room.
It's a good idea.
But Dan, you do your best, bud.
As I said the other day, I had a friend.
We'd be trying to get custody of you.
Never asked me about my work before. He said, can I ask you something about your job? I said, sure. I said, are you and Andy friends?
The best part.
Do you like each other?
Do you want to tell everybody what happened to us yesterday when we left? Walked out the door? Who stopped us? To tell us about their car. Because everywhere I go, I got to hear about that damn van that's been gone for like 3 years.
Yeah.
How's Jeff's van? How did the van become so popular?
I don't know. Forget the van. I want to get back to our fight. We were talking about developing players and blah, 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 blah. And Andy thinks I'm doing something that I have no idea what he's even talking about.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
I'm talking about getting guys up here, but being patient and bringing them up
and
when
I'm talking
ready.
About opportunity when guys aren't guys performing, so giving someone else a chance.
Well, which I want to do, but maybe there's a reason why. I mean, I wanted DeLauder up here yesterday, but they must not think he's ready.
I want
Cephas up here yesterday.
I wanted Cephas to go from East Lake to Cleveland. So
Anthony's in Cleveland Heights. Hello, Anthony.
Heights, hi.
How you doing? Heights, hi. Yes. Okay. So I agree with Keith here. It's when folks are. You have to take into account, I think, when folks who are singing, bring up DeLauder, bring up Cephas, they're doing it subsequent to them saying, we stink, we've lost 10 games in a row. The implication here is that these guys are going to help this year, which is not correct. As Jeff, you're pointing out, it's quite likely, and as Keith pointed out, that they're just not ready. And the front office has said last year and this year, the players are going to help us get to the playoffs, if that's in the cards at this point, are on the roster right now. So I have an issue when people are expecting guys like DeLauder to be ready now. Now, if you are truly a
Guardian, if DeLauder wasn't hurt, I agree with what Keith said, that he should be ready right now. But you have to, fair? I mean, look, if you're sitting here from the outside, you're saying this is Major League Baseball, and I know there's a jump between AAA and the bigs, but yes, if you brought either one of these guys up and they hit 200, then they would be more successful than the guys that are hitting right now.
He's had 500 at-bats in his minor league career. That's it.
Yeah, I think maybe the issue is...
You're talking about Cephas, or are you talking about DeLauder?
Yeah.
Okay.
If you truly are someone who's saying bring them up, let's see what they got, and we're getting ready for next year, that's fine. But my fear is that you're going to bring them up, and maybe this is just my response as a Guardians fan first to people who are demanding they bring them up. That the minute they go over 10, they're going to go, they stink. The front office stinks. Get rid of Dolan, and they're not going to give them the time to.
Guess what? They're going to do that anyway. They've been doing that since day one, Anthony. But
you're right about that. One other thing I want to point out here. Well, two other things. You had a caller previous to Keith Law coming on, comparing GMs across eras for the Guardians.
That was Bill
and
Parma.
I'd be a little careful to do that because the finances of baseball have changed so significantly that it's practically a different game, especially at the level of, what players are, the financial level. So that's just one thing I'd be careful about doing. The Dodgers are so far ahead of everybody in terms of budget at this point that I'd be careful about making those comparisons. It's like comparing to the dead ball era and home runs or something like that. And then one other thing I'm going to point out, I just want to, on Slay Ciccone, the guy's making $765,000 a year. So anybody who wants to at some point this year, when it's going to happen, complain about trading away Josh Naylor, he's under club control at $765,000, and Josh Naylor was set to make $20 million. So just bear in mind.
So pay the man. That's what I say. Pay the man now. Get Slade Ciccone some cash now.
Yes, sir.
You don't have to.
I'm saying do
Anthony,
the right
thank
thing.
You, buddy.
Do the right thing. Sign him up now, long term. Get him go. I love this kid.
Evan
love
is in Ciccone. Lyndhurst. Hello, Evan.
Brush hard. Hey, guys. Hey. I just wanted to call. When you were arguing, Jeff, about AAA, you were kind of making a logical fallacy. You were arguing that, one, AAA doesn't help you. Because, like,
no, I never said that, Evan.
Go to 180.
Evan, I never said that.
You mentioned Jonathan Rodriguez, AAA Player of the Year, and then all of a sudden he can't hit when he's up here.
Well, he hasn't yet.
Hasn't yet, and I think he could use some time up here to at least play a little bit.
Couldn't agree with you more.
Can or can't hit.
Couldn't agree with you more.
I don't know if it would help Delauder to really play around there. He was at James Madison, I think, for a few years.
That's correct. That's where he went to college.
Orleans.
Is that like low A? I mean, toss in 500 bats for that, and then he's ready to come up. I mean, I would trade away. I love Santana, but like Milwaukee needs a first baseman right now. There you go.
Boston.
Lane Thomas. He's a free agent to be. He's screwed himself this year, but let him go try to get some money back from playing in the playoffs somewhere.
You know what, though, Evan, the problem with that, though, and I'm with you on that because he's a free agent, either they want to keep him, which they haven't shown, but he's been injured and he's not performed well. Man, if you trade him, you're going to get nothing for him. And so I wonder, do you just try and get him here and he comes back and he plays well and then you try and sign him next year on a better contract?
I mean, you could sign him anyway if he's a free agent. I mean, you get player to be named later. That was Michael Brantley 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
But like Aroldis Chapman, he went to the Cubs on a World Series, went right back to the Yankees.
Yeah, and that's a valid point, Evan. That's a valid point. I just don't think I don't think a team's going to give you anything for Lane Thomas right now. Anything. Because he's hurt, and he's been hurt a couple of times this year. Unless he can get on the field and stay healthy, I think it'd be really tough to trade him and based on, you know, he can help us down the stretch. Yes, he could if he's healthy. But you're going to give up anything of any kind of substance, Andy, for a guy who hasn't been on the field much this year. That's the problem. And that's a shame. Lane seems like a good guy, and he did some nice things here last year.
Yeah, I keep going back to Chase DeLauder and just kind of looking at his numbers. Even if he got here, I guarantee he'd hit more. You got to believe he'd hit better than 200, 210, 215 if he got here, even if he's trying to work his way through it right now.
You know what it goes back to?
I'm just looking at all of his numbers since he was 19 years old, even a Cape Cod Summer League number, and you know what he did at Akron or Lake County. You know, Arizona.
That's all well and good, and it can't be dismissed. The problem, I still think it goes back to this. And they've got a lot of guys that they haven't made decisions on. You know, John Kenzie. Yeah, we loved him at times. Rodriguez. I think he's so intriguing, it's ridiculous. He's put up big numbers in AAA.
Yeah, Rocchio, I think Rocchio is one of those guys, too.
Well, Rocchio might be, too. And then Gabe Arias was getting a chance. You know, you've got to make decisions there. I just think there's so many guys in the same boat. You know, and they have to figure out, all right, is this guy a keeper? Is that guy a keeper? And they, I don't know that you could have a big miss there, but boy, that would be terrible if they did, wouldn't it? You know, let's just say you decide Rodriguez isn't the guy and he goes to some other team and becomes, you know, Anthony Santander, who was really good in Baltimore after going in the Rule 5 draft. Who knows?
Ding,
no?
Ding, 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 ding. I'm a Jeff in a box. Bing, bing, bing.
Oh, you're a miserable human being, Menigan.
Ding, 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 ding. I'm a Jeff in a box. Bing, bing, bing.
I don't even know what that means.
It means that once you label a player, they stick in that box.
I disagree with that thought completely.
Oh, Jeff, you label guys all the time. Come on. It's okay. It's all right.
Just, for the sake of a 4-hour talk show, so that we can have something to discuss. But I don't
it's
stick
the same
them there.
Thing is,
give a guy a chance to develop. That must be the case. You call me the king of the process. If I'm the king of the process, how do I put a guy in a box and not let him out?
You're getting very emotional about this, Jeff.
Yes,
I
am.
Talk about it. You don't,
because you're a horse's patoot.
Well, just because you can't stand that, I'm telling you that I am going to chart every throw Will Howard has moving forward, and it pains me because I don't want the Steelers to win.
I've not said anything about Will Howard except for the fact that he went in the sixth round. Doesn't mean he can't be successful.
That is a fallacy. But you ripped the you-know-what out of me because I think Will Howard's a good quarterback. You
got
the two of you two together crush me on Will Howard every day. If you could, if I could walk in the door, you would say, Will Howard, and then you'd start ripping me left and right, and then the two of you would be laughing in my face. I cannot wait for my vengeance on that. Man, I want Will Howard to play well, but I don't want him to do it for the Steelers. That sucks.
I mean, it is one of the finer Jeff things, is of course.
Oh, Will.
Thank you. Thank you.
I got to give him props till the end because that is really funny.
Thanks.
Oh, Will Howard. Why does he have to be with the Steelers? Will. Why couldn't he be with any other team in the NFL? Any other team, so I could kind of root for him a little bit. I want him to be. I want him to have the greatest numbers.
How did we end up on football?
Any quarterback in the history of the game that loses.
How did we end up on football?
That the Steelers defense fails them all the time. People are like, man, I feel so bad for Will Howard.
Now that's we're talking about Andy's man crush and his hate of the Steelers.
See, now I knew he'd turn it. No, you said to me that you don't do that to me, but you do that to me. So now you have the reality of it.
Brandon is in Paintsville. Hi, Brandon.
Brandon, what's up?
Baskin and Phelps, how y'all doing?
What's up?
We're miserable.
Hey. Shout out Paintsville. Let's hear it up for Paintsville.
Not miserable. Paintsville, amen. Yeah. Look, I know you guys are talking about prospects and all, but hey, I am super excited. Hey, slumps happen in baseball. We swept the Houston Astros, baby.
That's right.
We swept them.
The first place Houston Astros, Brandon.
Who were playing great baseball before?
It.
Who were playing great baseball before we got to them?
We are doing awesome. I'm excited. Hey, that took away the 10-game losing streak.
Oh, yeah.
Houston Astros.
3 wins in the last 13 games, baby. Here we go.
Houston Astros.
Wrong team.
It was close, though, wasn't it?
Brandon, thank you. Appreciate that.
Houston Astros, number one. Dan Pastorini on the hill. It was great. Earl Campbell behind the plate. What?
I did like the Oilers back in the day. And I'm a Bum Phillips fan.
I just think about the Browns playing on that godforsaken carpeting they had in the Astrodome.
Jeff Shadell covers.
Seriously, I think we had the same carpeting when I lived in Cleveland Heights. Same stuff. It was.
You know why that was so bad? One of the reasons?
Because they didn't buy it from your dad. That's why.
That's a great point, but no. They did not have concrete underneath it.
What was underneath it?
Dirt.
It was dirt?
It was rolled out over dirt.
And that's why it was so bad?
It was quite bumpy.
I did not know that. I thought it was concrete.
When I was down there, it was dirt.
Hmm. And then they could just lift it and they could bring out big trucks.
Bring out a horse and have a rodeo.
Yeah, that's true.